All right, if you have your Bible today, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Once again, thank you so much for having us in. That's my wife, Melissa, and Lily and Charlotte. That's my boy, Silas, and Colton is over with the other kiddos. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to move this out of the way. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm going to read verse 11 to you. Bible says, and the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Edan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. So God mentions a few different characters here, and he mentions Zerubbabel, which we know is Gideon, Jephthah, which is the character that we're going to be looking at today. He mentions Samuel, which, I mean, Samuel is a pretty remarkable, amazing person in the Old Testament. And Bedan, which we don't know for sure who that is. Some people think it is Samson, because Ben Dan, the son of Dan, that is Samson. So we don't know who that is. But Jephthah is a fascinating character in the Old Testament. And, you know, I was just studying him, and the Lord gave me this message. And he's an interesting character. He's known for a horrible tragedy, and it's something that we can learn from. You know, it's good to learn from other people's mistakes. And what a mistake. The title of this message is Jephthah's Big Mistake. And maybe you say, well, I'm not going to make the mistake Jephthah made. I'm not going to sacrifice my daughter. Well, maybe you're not going to do what he did, but maybe you would do it on a spiritual level. That was the consequence of his mistake. So I want to talk to you today about Jephthah's big mistake. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for all you do for us, Lord. God, help us to learn from the life of Jephthah and the mistake he made. Lord, help us also to acknowledge the good things about his life and see what we can learn from that. Help me, Lord, as I bring this message, that it would be a help and encouragement to folks. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Judges chapter 11. We're going to look at the story of Jephthah tonight. Judges 11, and we'll start out with verses 1 through 2. It says, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And so what I see here, first thing about Jephthah is Jephthah, he was rejected by his own brothers. And yet when you follow him and you read more about this, you'll see that Jephthah, he did not play the victim card throughout his life. He overcame adversity. And he was rejected, he was an outcast through no fault of his own. We don't get to choose how we come into this world. He did not get to choose the circumstances in which he was born. And he was an outcast because of that, but he did not let that unfortunate circumstance in his life, he did not cling to that and play the victim card his whole life, and he did not let that become his identity. You know, we all go through things in our lives, and, you know, sometimes we are going to have to separate ourselves and lick our wounds, and then you just got to put it aside, and you have to go on for the Lord. And Jephthah is actually a great example of somebody who the deck was stacked against him from the beginning, and somehow he overcame that and made something. We got to remember, he's mentioned with Samuel and Gideon as one of the deliverers of Israel. Pretty remarkable guy when you think about it. Now, if you know the story of Jephthah, our tendency is always to go back to that horrible situation that comes. But let's not forget this side of him as well. Let's not let unfortunate circumstances of the past identify who we are and then just refuse to ever grow from that. It says in Psalms 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Even if everyone else around you rejects you and things don't look good, You always have the Lord. That's why that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is so vital and important. Verses 3-6 says, "Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, 'Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon.'" So you see that he gathers vain men unto him. It's almost like he gets this little gang of himself. He gets this little gang. This is the book of Judges. I mean, there's some wild stuff that goes on in the book of Judges. It's not roses and you know, vanilla ice cream. It's some wild stuff going on in the book of Judges. So he goes out and he starts developing a following. And he demonstrates leadership. And not only does he demonstrate leadership, he embraces it. And the reason why I say that he embraces leadership is because everybody's a leader to one degree or another. We all have people that look up to us or look to us as an example. Some folks don't even necessarily look up to us, but they look to you as a companion. And if you start slipping in an area, then they say, "Oh, well, I'll just slip in that area too, because he's doing it. He seems to be fine. I'll do it." So he embraced the idea of leadership. So we have in our family, we have a cast iron pan, and we call it the what pan. And the reason why we call it the what pan is because my wife would always say, "Did you wash that pan?" And my kids would always say, "What pan?" Because nobody ever wants to wash the what pan, because it's cast iron, right? Cast iron. And you have to be really careful with it. You know, I mean, you don't want to ruin the seasoning. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about, right? Don't you dare use soap. Everything else you use soap. You don't use soap on the what pan. Well, today, my oldest son tells the youngest son, "Oh, go ahead and use soap." He starts using soap. It's a whole uproar. "What are you doing using soap? I didn't know." And you know what? My oldest son is a bad example of leadership. So we all look towards each other one way or another. And, you know, Jephthah's brothers were desperate because they needed a good leader. And Jephthah turned out to be that good leader for Israel. He wasn't ideal. He wasn't what they wanted. He wasn't, you know, he didn't have perfect speech, and he wasn't super polished. And he was rough around the edges for sure, but he was the leader they needed. And it was good. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so Jephthah goes back and forth with his brothers, and they say, and he says, "Well, why do you want me now?" And they said, "Well, we need a good leader." And eventually they say, "Okay, if you help us to win this fight, then you can reign over us." And so he says, "Okay." And then the story continues, Judges 11, 12 through 13. And what we read there. "And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, 'What hast thou to do with me, that thou art come unto me against me to fight in my land?' And the king of the children of Ammon said unto him, 'The messengers of Jephthah, unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore these lands again peaceably.'" So I am not a fan of this individual. And they say that a broken clock is right twice a day. But there was a person by the name of John Lennon who said, "Give peace a chance." And what's remarkable about Jephthah is this guy who's rough around the edges and has been treated like dirt his whole life still gives peace a chance. He reached out in peace to the king of Ammon. The fight was already going on. And he reached out and he said, "Why are you attacking us?" I mean, if I would have been one of his advisors, I probably wouldn't have had the patience that he had. I probably would have said, "Look, we're already fighting. Just go out there and beat him and get it over with." But he reached out in peace. And I look at us, I'm an independent Baptist. And I was an independent Baptist before I was saved. And then I got saved, and I'm going to be an independent Baptist all my life. And us independent Baptists,
Sometimes we need to give peace a chance, right? Am I only the only one who thinks that? I think it's so funny how sometimes we will, as independent Baptists, we'll meet other people, and then it's like we just start getting around to where we start asking and figuring out what we disagree on. Like, why can't we just enjoy some fellowship, right? And we need to learn the principle, I think, sometimes to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that's what he was trying to do. He reached out in peace to this king of Ammon. And so the king of Ammon says, well, the reason why I'm fighting with you guys is because when Israel left Egypt 300 years ago, they took our lands. And so we want them back. And so at that point, we see what Jephthah does next, which is actually pretty remarkable. Verses 14 through 28. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the children of Ammon, and said unto him, thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of the Ammon, of Ammon. But when Israel came up through Egypt, and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, and Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, and for sake of time, I'm going to spare reading all the way up to verse 28. If you read this, you will see that Jephthah is an incredibly patient man. He takes the time to explain to the king of Ammon, no, we didn't take the land from the Ammonites. We took it from the Amorites. I know the names are familiar, but they're not the same people. And he said, and that happened 300 years ago. And then if you read in here, you'll see Jephthah will say, why is it that none of the other king of the Ammonites said they wanted their land back over the last 300 years? You know why? It's because they knew it wasn't theirs. And so he explains all of this. What a patient man. He asked, why are you attacking us? He processed the king's reasoning. He took the time to tactfully explain to the king of Ammon it was never their land, and it was the Amorites, and the Amorites lost it to Israel because that's what happens. And then he explained to him the fallacy of trying to, after 300 years later, to try to get it back. And then at the very end of that passage, you read there in verse 28, howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words with Jephthah, which he sent unto him. How many times have you tried to explain something to somebody and you spend all the time and it just doesn't even matter? But you know what? It's still the right thing to do. And so Jephthah is just knocking that out of the park. He's doing so many good things. He had historical knowledge and he showed patience when dealing with somebody who was his enemy. And the Bible says, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. And you know, when the story was over, the king of Ammon, his intentions were actually made manifest because of Jephthah's patience. Then we read here in verse 28 through 33, it says, howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent unto him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came unto Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah to Gilead, and from Mizpah to Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. And he smote them from Aor even down to Minnath, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. This is a great victory. 20 cities were taken in one battle. It just kept going and going and going, and God blessed. And his approach to dealing with his enemies, I mean, is so contrary to how you see people operate in that time. He was patient and he explained things. He gave the guy opportunities and then he took care of business. And he asked for God's help. And yes, he makes a foolish vow.
who hasn't done that before? You know? And he was desperate for God's help. What a great position to be in, to be desperate for God's help. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. He experienced the joy of victory. It is so good to have victory in your life.
Amen.
But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then you read the rest of the story, verses 34 through 40. Then Jephthah came to Mizpah into his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she with his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. Now he promised God, whatever comes through that gate first, I will offer it as a sacrifice, and it's his daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And if you read the story, you know, they talk, and from all indication, this thing happens. And commentators try to dress it up, but we're talking about the book of Judges. And when the Bible says it happened, it happened. That poor young girl was offered as a sacrifice. What a horrible tragedy. This is the tragedy of Jephthah's life. All these good things about Jephthah, nobody remembers them. All they ever remember is this horrible tragedy at the end of this battle. They don't remember the 20 cities. They don't remember the huge slaughter and the victory and the momentum and everything. They remember this. And this is the greatest tragedy of Jephthah's life. Yes, it was a foolish vow, but people make foolish vows. There was a solution to this problem. It's found in Leviticus chapter 5. Who hasn't ever made a foolish vow to God? It's not a good thing to do. I'm not making light of it. But understand it happens. And God knows it happens. Leviticus chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. Or if a soul swear, or pronouncing with his lips to do evil, or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with his oath, it shall be hid from him. So he says something, he doesn't know how things are going to turn out, and then it goes back to bite him. When he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these, and it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin which he has sinned, a female from the flock, or a lamb, or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if you want to study this out more, Leviticus chapter 27, it deals with this situation as well. The truth is, Jephthah's big mistake was he didn't know his Bible. He was this great leader. He had patience with others. He knew history. He knew how to lead men. But he didn't know his Bible. And as a result of it, this horrible thing happened. If he would have known about this, he could have offered the sacrifice and saved his daughter. I don't believe for a second that God wanted him to sacrifice his daughter. What God wanted him to do was to repent of his sin, offer the sacrifice, and move on with life. But he lost his daughter and in such a horrible, horrible situation. And so his daughter and his daughter being sacrificed was the consequence of his big mistake. And that big mistake was not knowing his Bible. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do we make the same mistake that Jephthah did? Where we tend to think that the Bible doesn't address the issue that we're facing in our life. Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. And, you know, there are places in the Bible that deal directly with what we're dealing with. But then there's precept upon precept. And that's where we apply the principles of Scripture to what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. But I personally believe that everything we go through life, that there's a principle that can address it. And it's our job to know what those are. We have to bear the consequences if we don't. We can't expect other people to know those things for us. The Bible addresses so many things that we go through in life. I mean, entertainment choices, debt, finances, investing, diet and exercise, social media conduct, work-life balance, fashion and modesty, addictions of any kind, political involvement, minimalism, employer-employee relationship, end-of-life care decisions, interfaith relations, the list goes on. You can find verses and principles that will apply to your situation in life. If you're struggling with something, dig into the Bible to find what it is you need to do. Like I said, Jephthah was a tremendous man, other than this massive chink in his armor. He overcame adversity. He was a great leader. He was knowledgeable. He's patient. God blessed him. But because he didn't know his Bible, and he didn't dig into it when he was faced with a horrible situation, this is what he's remembered for. Let us not be like that to where, and I'm about to close, let us not be like that to where we live our lives for the Lord and then we run into some situation and we think, oh, well, this is unique. The Bible says there is no temptation taking you that is not common to man. Everything we deal with, somebody's dealt with it in one way or another. We need to study God's word and seek God's wisdom when we make decisions.